Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Bobes, and this is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTube creator, on the 31st of December, 2024, the last day. And, ladies and gentlemen, Julia and I are feeling a lot better from our recent last 8 days of sheer hell and illness, which was not very pleasant, but... And you will have heard a few miserable recordings. Not totally back to health. I can still feel a slight tightness in my throat, and there's still a little bit of the cough. But by golly, the mental attitude, the optimism, and all of that has returned. Thank goodness. It is amazing how one can be so manipulated into a negative vibe when the body is feeling so wretched as it has recently, no matter how determined one is to try and avoid that. And of course, the time of year with the darkness and the lack of absolute sunshine at all has not helped and has taught me many lessons, I suppose, is the best part of that. It's taught me many lessons. However, let us find and visit for the last time, ladies and gentlemen, the English year compiled by Geoffrey Grigson, which I have here, and read the last entry as we say goodbye to 2024 and this particular era, and we move into the next half decade. So this two last entries here, one by Nathaniel Hawthorne in 1856 in Southport, Lancashire. Nathaniel Hawthorne, let me just see what we know about him. I didn't realise that at the back, they didn't tell us this. They may have done, I didn't read the beginning of the book, but at the back they have a little bit of blurb about each writer, and you would think, or at least if I was compiling this book, I would have pointed you to the rear of the book each time a new correspondent was added to the list. But anyway, so Nathaniel Hawthorne was around from 1804 to 1864, so he's only 60 years he lived. American novelist, descended from a Wiltshire ancestor who reached Salem, Massachusetts in 1630. For 5 years, from 1853, he was an American consul at Liverpool. He liked to think of the body of Milton's Lucidus, whatever that is, floating in across Southport Sands. But otherwise, he loathed the Mersey, the coast, the sour flatness, and the wind, slipping away when he could to fill his notebooks with impressions of more genial England. And so there we are. Anyway, so he says this. Thus far we have come through the winter on this bleak and blasty shore of the Irish Sea, where perhaps the drowned body of Milton's friend, Lucidius, might have been washed ashore more than two centuries ago. It is an excessively windy place, especially here on the promenade. Always a whistle and a howl, always an eddying gust through the corridors and chambers. Often a patter of hail or rain or snow against the windows. And in the long evenings, the sounds outside are very much as if we were on board ship in mid-ocean and the waves dashing against the vessel's sides. And finally, Francis Kilvert is our final cheerio to this book and this year of diarists. And Francis Kilvert, 1871, in Wiltshire, says, At 5 minutes to midnight, the bells of Chippenham Church pealed out loud and clear in the frosty air. We opened a shutter and stood around listening. It was a glorious moonlit night.
It's a moonlit night to neat, Mrs. Reet. You're buying a toaster.
He didn't say the last bit. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the English year compiled by Geoffrey Gigson. Very nice. I shall place that now back on the shelf from where I reached it from some months ago. 12 months ago, probably. Or less, because I don't actually remember how we got going on all of this. And I dare say none of you lot also remember precisely how it came about. But I imagine it came from this shelf here somewhere. I do relish the fact that my books are in an eclectic order and that they are eclectic in and of themselves, but at the same time, and I think Julia would be keen to assist, it would be lovely to actually put them in some more precise order so that one can find certain things at certain junctures, if you see what I mean. Because there are books that I have, and I have them, that are relevant to certain things one might talk about, and it would be so brilliant to just place one's fingers straight on them. The problem that I often have is that I duplicate the books, because I'll see a book on offer somewhere and think, oh yes, I must have that, not realising I've had it and it's languishing on the shelf for many years. I nearly said centuries then, but I'm not that old. It does feel like it on occasions. So, the weather, of course, is no different to recent times, except that it is wet this time, the last day of the new year. Julia has come down to join me, and I've told her to put the glue away.
What?
Hello.
Glue.
Are you busy?
Glue?
Glue. Julia has come down to join me. And I've asked her to... doesn't matter.
oh, I see. Put the glue away.
Yes.
Not to join you.
No. So we will be saying goodbye to each other today, briefly. Hopefully we will be saying hello again.
Yeah, tomorrow in the new year.
Yes, for your children are back now from their journey.
From Birmingham.
Where they have been. And it has given us this lovely opportunity in the last 7 days to go and not visit our friends down in Wiltshire, or indeed our other friends in Cirencester.
Or any of the land we wanted to potentially purchase.
Or any of the land. And
or any of the other lovely things that we could have done.
But it did give us plenty of time to retch together and
sneeze, cough,
and share...
And speak monotonously.
Yes.
In utter abject boredom and frustration.
And we did watch some dodgy films.
Oh, gosh, yes, some awful film.
A curious film called The Ends of the Day.
The Remains of the Day.
Oh, The Remains of the Day.
That's it, yeah.
Yes, and...
It remains to be seen whether we should have bothered watching it. No, it doesn't. We shouldn't have bothered.
And a very dreadful Terry Thomas film, which was actually quite surprisingly dreadful.
Yeah, I was kind of at least vaguely amused by that one.
Saddened. It did sadden me to see the stars of one's formative years having to lower themselves.
Such a compromised position, yeah.
But anyway, I guess that happens to many people. We had a chili con carne, and I have to say, last night it was absolutely the right meal for the right time, and it has done its job. The chili has really seen off the remains of this cold. There's remnants, sort of, you know, a little bit of sniffles and what have you, as we said at the beginning. But Julia made this amazing chili con carne, and I was extremely grateful for it.
Very glad.
And we enjoyed it very much. So... And of course, you have a number of presents because you haven't seen your children over the Christmas period.
No.
So you've got to relive Christmas all over again.
Yeah, because I made, not the mistake, but last year, because I had the kids last year, obviously they got my Christmas presents on Christmas Day. And then when their dad got back, I can't remember if his dad went away to see their family or not. Anyway, but when their dad got back from work, I think is what it was, he gave them some toys, a couple of toys from his car, and they remembered those toys more than the ones I had thought so terribly hard about and saved so terribly much for. So I wasn't, impressed with myself for that one.
No.
So this time I was like, well, I'm not going to give my presents beforehand. Ah, in fact, 2 years ago, I think that's also the mistake I did then, gave my presents before they went.
Yes.
No, I've saved them for when they get back. We'll have a little Christmas now.
So they'll come back and say, oh, look, we've got all these toys from up north. And then it's like, yeah, that's interesting. By the way, we've got some new toys. Oh, and then all the ones from up north can be shelved over in that pile whilst they actually remember and enjoy yours.
Yeah.
Which will be good, which would be nice. I mean, I know it's a silly thing, isn't it? And you're not trying. I remember when Dawn and I split up, we weren't trying to outdo each other to be the favoured parent. It's just the order of things sometimes means that kids do, they are living a linear existence, like we all are. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate if it falls that the one that does most of the work, which it was usually the mother, the one that does most of the work is the one that is least remembered.
Mm.
And I, of course, I became a bit of a surrogate mother with the kids when Dawn and I split up because Dawn left and I had the kids. Well, she left initially with the kids, then she couldn't cope with the kids, so I had the kids back, which is the reason I said we can't sell the house at the time, because what will happen if the kids have nowhere to go? As indeed it turned out, not that we'd planned it that way, but... And then they stayed with me for another 10 years or so. Well, certainly Billy. Georgie did until she got her flat... And then Billy, of course, stayed until the 2020. Mm. So he's only been out.
Oh, gosh, it's only been 4 years.
Yeah.
Almost five.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he
no
was
way.
In the master bedroom, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know, but, like, you haven't had the
COVID.
Studio up there for, like, 5 years now, have you?
No.
No.
No, because the studio, he moved out at the end of 2020 after the lockdowns. He was... then bought his place, didn't he? Because he, remember when he used to come home from the hospital and say, he and Sharifa,
yes,
oh, we've got to isolate.
Yes, I remember all that.
And so then they would sit up there, they said, Dad, you've got to isolate as well. I said, well, I'm not isolating, I don't have any of that rubbish, thank you. And they would stay in their room.
I thought it was at least a year or two after all the lockdowns had finished.
And it meant, well, that means even less time then.
Yeah, I know. That makes more sense to me.
Oh, I see. Yes, it's not been away. Yes, so maybe 2021. I can't, these things fade into a thing. But certainly no longer is what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Keep pointing up there as if he's still there.
Yeah, as if they can see you pointing up there.
Yes. And then we moved, once they moved out, of course, where were we?
What do you mean?
We were in the back room anyway, weren't we? Or the bedroom was still the back room.
Your bedroom has always been the back room. Is that what you meant?
Mm.
As long as I've known you, that's been your room.
Yes. I mean, I have moved around. Everyone has moved who's lived in this house has moved around umpteen different times to different rooms.
But the studio was in the middle room.
Yes. Or the back room, as I call it.
Or the back room downstairs.
Which is why the back room now is this storage room, and it must be sorted this year. But yes, it's funny, isn't it, to think of that? Funny to think that there were others in the house. But then there was just me, you see, and Billy, and he was the last to leave. Oh yes, and that's when he did that, that's when I started to do the living on my own. series on part of the Bald Explorer, and coping, and of course you were in my life, but we weren't an item initially as an official.
I think it was that then that we were beginning to be taking the idea seriously, though. And I was, if I hadn't already split up with him at that point, I was about to.
So, anyway, yeah, so quite extraordinary times. And of course, Christmas is one way you spend with the family, and it can be awkward, can't it, with two fractions of the parents who've broken up. But we did, Billy, I think we mentioned this yesterday in the recording, that Billy came round yesterday, the day before, and he sat in it, and we had a lovely, nice, and I was actually thinking how grown up he was, because he was able to express quite fluently things, politics.
His opinions on some of the things that you talk about.
Yes, and in the past he's never shown any interest in politics, not politics as in House of Commons politics and, you know, all of that, but just general life politics, the politics of life. And I was greatly impressed that this young man has started to formulate his own set of ideas, and not just regurgitating what had been sent to him on TikTok or something.
Or on Snopes.
Or on Snopes. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. At the end of a year, and what do we have to look forward to next year? Well, hopefully lots. Hopefully for Julia and I, we hope to find that precious piece of land that will enable us to either renovate something that's already there in order to get out of the town before the big 5G more switch on. I mean, I think it's on. That's the trouble. I walked down to the seafront, as we mentioned before, I think, and had a wallop from the 5G towers down there.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what triggered your intense headaches.
Yes, I think it did. I don't
swung into the flu.
It's nice to know that the people of Biggleswick will be rejoicing at the final towers of 5G coming down very shortly. However, the rest of the world is still a bit behind, sadly. Anyway, I think I shall leave it there for today's episode. I have a video to make, of course, and hopefully not quite so ranty as it was yesterday, but I was really struggling against the evil illness and trying to sort of assert myself against the illness, you know, trying to sort of prove to myself more than anything else that I had beaten it, although I don't think I'd actually really had beaten it, although today I feel so much more positive. So there we are. Thank you for listening, if you did, and we'll see you next year. Till then, goodbye.